Oh, my God. Congratulations, Aaliyah Raquel Rodriguez. Your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Look, man, you know I'm a huge fan of Raquel Rodriguez. She is excellent. She's been underutilized. The smiling shit is going away slowly. You almost feel like Sasha Banks and Naomi need to come back now. That might be the only reason why this went down tonight, but I don't care. Look, I am extremely excited that Triple H is under the helm. I love Vince McMahon. I don't love him personally, but I appreciate everything he's done. Vince McMahon's the reason why I'm here. Vince McMahon, here, doing the show. Vince McMahon has entertained me for 79, 80s, 90s, 2000s, do that. You know, I'm not going to take that away. But, you know, for all the people out there that think that Triple H was an outsider, not part of the machine, the mentality is completely different. What a shit tournament. And that tournament really was designed for Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus everybody else. And after all of that, we got Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez. I think Triple H needs to call up Vince. Hey, how do you operate this soundboard so we can get crowd reaction? Because the main event tonight, there was no reaction. That was not good. That was not good. I don't give a fuck who is in charge. I don't care if Tony Khan would have booked it. That was not good. But let's see what happens later. Let's see what happens later on. Who's going to feud with them? But do you see what they have done with Aaliyah in this tournament? Think about Aaliyah's role in this tournament. Unless she's going to turn into a monster heel that we're going to suddenly give a shit about. Now, I like Aaliyah. We all like Aaliyah. We root for her. She's, you know, we've talked about it. I've defended her when she gets emotional. I'm not crapping on Aaliyah. She's not a tag team champion. Sorry. I think Aaliyah, seriously, sometime tonight, she's probably going to be in a hotel room. Or if she lives in that area, she's going to be home tonight. She's going to look in the mirror and say, am I really a tag team champion? I really deserve this? So either something else is brewing. You know, they've made her incognito the last two matches, if you've paid attention. That was not good. That was not good. So, we're going to talk tonight about Raw. Obviously, this show is going to go a little bit shorter than usual. I think I have legitimate good excuse. September 3rd will be a little busy. I know you're all sick and tired of me bringing it up. I get it. But obviously, real life comes in the way. And look, I'm not going to jip you on shows. This is my schedule going into the 19th. So we still have a lot of shows to do. So tonight we're going to talk about Raw. We'll get into a few wrestling news tidbits. We have some sausage to get into. All right, put the women's tag team titles for a second. Put it aside for a second. First of all, July 25th. Remember my sausage that WWE was going to start bringing back the first names of wrestlers like Theory, eventually, Matt Riddle, and a few other names. Remember that report? Well, one good thing that happened tonight is that Riddle got his first name back. Matt Riddle, we can now call him Matt Riddle again. And a lot of that stoned Randy this, Randy that, Randy, 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 that has disappeared. We got tough, I'm going to fuck you up, Matt Riddle. Shit got real today. Blurred lines. As we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, blurred lines. When you use reality in storylines, it strikes a different nerve. We've talked about this for years and years and years. Now, I can't play it all the way through. We don't want any copyright issues here. But if you did not tune into Raw tonight, we had Matt Riddle. I have to get used to that again. Forgive me. We had Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins. First, they had a confrontation in the parking lot, which was a little goofy. It was a little goofy. Because if you see any other, like, Twitter footage of people brawling, like, in the streets or a parking lot, I don't think it's going to take one person, you know, to, like, hold people back or two. To quote Public Enemy, it takes a nation of millions. You know, you see, like, two people, like, it was a little too goofy. But, we got something else. They did a face-to-face with Corey Graves moderating it. And, you know, we get the segment, and it's pretty heated. And Riddle finishes the segment by taking a shot at Seth Rollins' marriage. And Matt Riddle tells Seth Rollins, after Saturday, you know, I'm going to prove that in your marriage, there's only one man. And her name is Becky, you know, and he went low on Seth Rollins. And everybody's like, oh, well, we got a little bonus footage after we went to commercial. They're still face to face. So after commercials, see, PG could be fucking awesome at times.
And clear.
We good?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
All right. So the segment is over. This is supposed to be footage that we were not supposed to see afterwards, and we get this.
Yo, Riddle, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let's talk about my family, man. Let's talk about your family. Oh, wait, you ain't got one because your wife divorced you and took your kids, and they don't want to see your bitch ass anymore, huh?
Oh! Oh! No thumbnails. No reaction thumbnails with all those goofs. They'd be like this. I don't do that shit. I probably should. Oh, it continues.
What did you just say?
Yeah, you heard me.
Where are you, bitch? Where are you?
I'm here. Come find me.
Dude, you don't get it. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to f*** you up, bro. Where the f*** are you? Where are you?
Come find
me,
bitch.
Where is he? Where are you? Dude, you don't get it. I'm going to smash your face in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome, man. Use reality. Make it feel like real life. I mean, that is such an easy recipe to do. Look, do you think Matt Riddle is really thrilled about bringing his personal life in a storyline? But tell me that you don't feel suspension of disbelief that maybe these two motherfuckers truly don't like each other. That's when wrestling is at its greatest, man. You see that tonight. Everybody is losing their shit tonight. And that's based on reality. That is something that has been held back for way too many years. You get a little taste here and there. But, you know, when it comes to Vince especially, you know, the WWE world is not reality. And, you know, it's not often that you really start. The closest you get is, hey, Kofi, I thought you had an accent. Apollo, I thought you had an accent. Like, you get shit like that. But this, if Matt Riddle, you think Matt Riddle wants the world to know that he might have been not have been a good husband? His wife divorced him? You know, which, you know, I'm not going to get into all the legalese with that. It's not as cut and dry. The point is, if this was real life, man, and somebody did me dirty like that, I want to beat the fuck out of them. Beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah, keep playing games, bro. Keep playing games. I'm going to fuck you up.
And it's not even TV 14. It's not even TV 14. You know, right away tonight, people, TV 14, TV 14. You don't know what the fuck TV 14 actually is. TV PG could be just fine. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm telling you honestly. You know, we've had Triple H at the helm for, what, a month and a half, approximately, give or take a little bit. And about a month. About a month. And you know, a little bit longer as far as wrestling matches go, seeing some names being rehired. Absolutely. Triple H, his fingers, prints are all over that. That promo exchange between Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins tonight, to me, was the first true big-time change that I have felt on television since Vince is no longer in creative power. We've had some... Look, how many times was the word wrestling mentioned tonight? How many? Zero? One? Two? I don't know how many times, but I know it was a lot less than 2 weeks ago. You know, you got to understand something. You know, Triple H isn't stupid. He's going to give perception of things that people have been craving for a while. Just give a little bit. You give a little taste. Clash at the Castle is only six matches. AEW All Out is probably going to be 15 when you add in, you know, the buy-in. All right, I don't know if we're going to have any pre-show matches for All Out. But you see, quality over quantity. And you got six matches, and some of them feel really, really powerful. From Drew to Roman to now Seth Rollins to Matt Riddle, which many of us were already into, and tonight they just took it to a new level. I want those motherfuckers to fight in Hell in a Cell. I don't know if we'll get that. But remember, the next pay-per-view premium live event after this is Extreme Rules. Don't forget that. So we probably will see some legit big-time gimmick match between Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins on Extreme Rules. And who knows what is going to happen with Dominic Mysterio and the Mysterio family by the time we get to Extreme Rules. Could we get Beth Phoenix back in the ring at Extreme Rules? There's a lot of things that are coming up that I'm excited for, man. You know, but I think tonight that promo exchange was the first time that I truly felt that what I was watching, I was like, if that was Vince still in creative power, we would not have gotten that tonight. Not even close. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to win it for Randy. I'm going to win it for Randy. Like Rayman. I'm going to win it for Randy. I loved it. Yeah, I got a haircut. I'm getting it trimmed again on Friday. I like wearing a hat. I like it. It's kind of like my deal. You look at all my graphics, look at my banners. You know, I'm wearing a hat. So I'm kind of like used to wearing a hat. So how's everybody doing tonight? Hope everybody had a great weekend. This is your WWE Raw post show. I am Don Tony as always. Just a little tidbit for our Patreon family and for our channel members here. The predictions contest is still on, even though I will be offline for most of this weekend. I will be posting the thread up on Wednesday. So you will have between Wednesday night and Friday night by midnight to post your entries. Once midnight strikes late Friday night, no more entries. Now, speaking of Friday night, this is for everyone that is tuning in right now. I will be here live Friday, 10:05 p.m., right after SmackDown. I will be up here doing predictions for Clash at the Castle. We'll get into some wrestling news tidbits, and I'm going to give you a Friday night show since I will not be around Saturday and Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about Raw, what we haven't talked to about already. And, you know, I enjoyed it. This was a pretty fun episode. Kurt Angle, a little retro, you know, watching Kurt Angle coming out there completely shirtless, I think that was an ego boost for him. I mean, that guy has gotten himself into crazy. Look, he was always in great shape. But Kurt Angle tonight coming out, you know, I thought he was going to get in the ring and maybe give an angle slam to somebody. I mean, I don't know physically how much he could go, but he looked fucking great tonight. And he had a ball, and we had a little bit of retro as well. You know, how many of you remember this back in the day? When Edge used to make Kurt Angle look a little bit like a clown, showing him pictures and writing things, insults on the other side. So you would have thought the minute Kurt Angle did not get an 8x10 tonight, but instead got another cardboard, You would have thought that, hey, maybe something's going on here, but Edge did it to him again tonight. Showed him like four or five. You know what was different about tonight? If you paid attention closely, you see on your screen right now, Edge showed Kurt Angle a picture of him shaving Kurt Angle's head. And Edge is saying to Kurt Angle, you know, look, I'm sorry I shaved your head bald. And Kurt Angle's like, yeah, I remember that. Not and the one on the screen right now, you know, Edge is the one that came up with the "you suck," you know, chant. So he's like, Kurt Angle's like, yeah, you brought up the "you suck" chant. You know, you said I suck. And meanwhile, Edge is pretty much describing every billboard that Kurt Angle's reading right now. And what he wrote on the back kind of matched what Kurt Angle was saying. So that was pretty funny. I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. If you're enjoying tonight's show, we have to, what can we do tonight? Let's angle slam the like button, because every show we have to use a different maneuver, different, you know, strike maneuver, some type of good offense. If you're enjoying tonight's show, angle slam that like button. Let everybody know you enjoy this show. Tonight, we had the beginning of the end of Sami Zayn in the Bloodline. And the beginning of Kevin Owens teaming up with Sami Zayn and ultimately, I think, winning those WWE Universal Tag Team Championships. Now, look, yes, the Usos do not have a match at Clash at the Castle because WWE, remember, don't give them everything. Give them a little bit. Give them just enough that keeps them happy. You got Peacock, $9.99 a month. It's not $59.99, $49.99 pay-per-view prices anymore. So you give them enough where they enjoy it. They got enough. You know, do you want to eat and have a really good meal? And, you know, you're not stuffed, but you know you had a great meal. Oh, that was an awesome meal. Or do you want to eat like a fucking pig and sit back and go, you know, some people want that. But they're not going to overshadow Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beating the Usos for the tag titles the same night at Clash at the Castle, where Roman Reigns could very well lose the unified WWE Universal Championships, because I think that's happening. You know, a little spoiler alert. I don't think I'm changing my mind by Friday. I think Drew McIntyre is winning it. And I think what we've been saying for the last few weeks is going to happen. Sami Zayn, it's going to backfire. Something's going to backfire. And Roman's going to lose. And Roman's going to make Sami Zayn feel like, it's all right. I'll get him back. Sammy, you know, naive, is going to fall for it, and he's going to get fucking destroyed. Kevin Owens is going to come to the rescue. I told you that they were treating you like garbage. Kevin Owens tonight, we had the Bloodline come out minus Roman Reigns. They hit the ring. You know, Jey Uso still doesn't like Sami Zayn, but Jimmy Uso is more cool to Sami Zayn. Not so much after tonight. So they're cutting their promos. Kevin Owens is not too thrilled. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens having a little bit of back and forth. And Kevin Owens telling the Usos, I'm here to remind you that your boss still owes me. And Jey Uso says to Sami, is this your guy? If this is your guy, you better get him before I do. And Sami, naive, takes the Bloodline and says, look, KO. Roman doesn't owe you or anybody else anything. Kevin Owens trying to knock a little bit of sense into Sami Zayn. Look, Sami, you're one of the greatest wrestlers, and you're allowing yourself to be treated like a clown in the Bloodline. You know, and Sami Zayn don't want to hear any of it. Sami Zayn says you're just like everybody, like the stupid meme online that says, oh, he thinks he's part of the team. They're trying to... And I love that little tiny tidbit that WWE does not do. Now with Triple H, they do. They allow the internet and the vibe and what's trending And what a lot of fans are saying online, they're putting it on TV now. That was one of the things I always hated under the Vince regime, and I've talked about this before, that, you know, someone will wait a week to confront someone and say, hey, man, what the fuck was that last week? But meanwhile, all during the week on social media, every fan is trying to tell that person, hey, did you see what happened? Hey, did you see that? And then they go a week later, and the person acts like they have no idea what's going on. I hated that with Vince. So we've talked about that before. But having Sami Zayn bring that up, you know, reflect it. Sami sees what's being said. KO's trying to knock some sense into him. So basically, Jey Uso, KO, they end up getting in each other's face. KO says, I guess this is the part where we drop the microphone, get a referee, and we have a fight. And they have a spectacular brawl. And what ends up happening towards the end of the match, the Usos tell Sami Zayn, get a chair, get a chair, get a chair. Jimmy Uso is distracting the referee. Jey Uso has Kevin Owens draped across the ropes. Sami hit him. Hit him with the chair. Sami reluctant. What happens? Too late, Sami. Referee turned around. So now Jimmy Uso, who takes Sami's out, saying, you know, supports him a little bit. It's like, what the fuck you doing? You're supposed to hit him. Jey Uso gets distracted, gets hit with a stunner. KO wins. Sami, you fucked up. Strike one happens tonight. Maybe strike two. You know, I don't want to give away anything with SmackDown because SmackDown's already taped. A lot of people still don't know that. SmackDown is already taped in the bag. So, you know, what you watch Friday is already taped. If you want to see spoilers online, go right ahead and check it out. But tonight started the seed planting of Sami Zayn out of the bloodline, KO and Sami teaming up. And think of this. Think of this. I don't know exactly when it was in 2017, but Kevin Owens has not had any type of championship in about 5.5 years. 5 to 5.5 years. That's a lot. That's a long time. Especially in the COVID era. You would have thought he could have won something somewhere. It's going to be a big deal when shit goes down. So I enjoyed it tonight. And you know what? A lot of you may feel that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn ultimately teaming again and maybe taking the titles from the Usos might be a little bit too predictable. So what? So what? If everybody is buying it, if everybody's feeling it, if everybody's wanting it, you don't have to swerve. Not everything needs to be a swerve of deception. Now, look, the outcome of the women's tag title match tonight was very, very unexpected. My main problem with the title change tonight is that Aaliyah is beyond, has been portrayed as beyond weak. And Raquel Rodriguez, nobody has any issue with her. But to go through that tournament to end with this, it just feels like something is missing. And it's not just Sasha and Naomi. There's something. And that was just very, very bland tonight. I personally thought Sky and Kai, they end up staying with WWE. Now, what's interesting about it is, think about this. Sky and Kai most definitely did not know who was winning tonight until tonight. So you ask yourself, do you think Sky and Kai going into tonight were pretty much convinced that they were going to be tag champs? Now, look, this is entertainment, obviously. But you ask yourself, wow, that's kind of interesting because you kind of say to yourself, if Sky and Kai came back and, you know, we're going to be pushed as title holders and getting some main event push, and then they show up tonight and on the sheet, they're not winning. You know, it's kind of, wait a minute, you know, but they weren't promised that they were going to win the titles tonight. And Triple H says to him, no. Give it a little time. Don't worry, it'll happen. You know, it's kind of like what all promoters do. So I personally think they probably knew before tonight that they weren't winning it. I think especially because Triple H convinced Io Sky to stay and brought back Dakota Kai, I'm pretty sure he probably had an extensive conversation with them and said, look, you know, we're going to do this, but we have to do this first. So, I don't know. Hey, I'm just giving my opinions. You know, some people may disagree with it. I'm just giving you my thoughts. So, and I think a lot of people actually agree with what I'm saying. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about Kurt Angle. So, as we said earlier, Kurt Angle made his return tonight. That was part of the sausage that I gave to you at the end of July, that Triple H was going to have more legends appear from time to time, especially in their hometowns. We had Booker T return, Trish Stratus return, not Kurt Angle return. In a couple of weeks, we'll have another legend return. Kurt Angle, great today in the ring. And as I posted on the preview earlier today, he was going to go at it with Alpha Academy. I mean, you know, I know it wasn't reported, but, you know, I think we pretty much know with the history of Chad Gable and Kurt Angle, you know, that was going to be in the plans. And I can't play all the audio, but this is what we were getting tonight. You get the deal. They were having a ball, man. You know, Chad Gable's showing a lot of respect for Kurt Angle early on. You know, truly looked up to Kurt Angle, you know, growing up and bringing up his accomplishments, especially with the gold medal with the broken freaking neck. And Chad Gable and Otis offer him tonight, one night only, member of Alpha Academy. Kurt's not interested, so they get pissed off. And next thing you know, the Street Profits come out. And look, I like the Street Profits, but man, I don't know about you, but it feels like their motherfucking stock has plummeted. I know a lot of people don't want them to split up, but I say to myself, you look at what's been going on since SummerSlam. You know, it feels like they have been left behind big time. You know, I don't even know what happens with Seth Rollins. Remember when Seth Rollins complained that he didn't have a match at SummerSlam? And Seth Rollins posted a tweet and said, you know, one day they'll hear me. And Triple H said, I hear you. Yeah, he's brawling with Riddle, Matt Riddle. But when does Seth Rollins get back into the title picture? You know, we mentioned it yesterday on the sit down. Will Seth Rollins hold a title before the end of 2022? I'm not so sure. That's why you need to split up these unified titles. Seriously. You remember that thumbnail that I posted with Bobby Lashley and Kofi? And I don't remember who else was on the front. And I wrote, be careful what you wish for. Because by strangleholding both championships with Roman Reigns, that is a bunch of people who have no chance of becoming heavyweight champion right now. By strapping the Usos. Remember when people said that the titles were going to be unified into one and there's no longer going to be titles on both brands? You remember all that clickbait? What happened to that, everybody? Now you understand why you cannot have one championship on two brands. It has nothing to do with networks. That's a cop-out for people out there. When people say, oh, the networks want the title back, that's them covering up that they got the news wrong. They all reported, wrote it on their newsletters, did it on their pay sites, did it on their podcasts, that WWE was only going to have one heavyweight champion going forward. That's it. It's going to become unified, one title, no more. No more two. Remember the Usos? Somebody even leaked out a picture of what the unified title was going to look like. Remember that night I said they're going to keep both belts because it looks better when you have four belts amongst two shoulders instead of two? Look at FTR. Even though they don't have the AEW tag titles, it's still impressive to walk around between the two of them having six titles in hand. But now with the elevation of a lot of guys and being utilized better, you have to divide those titles again, because there are people out there that you know could use a nice little run. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is a great example of that. But Seth Rollins is also an example of that. And there's other wrestlers as well. Will AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler end up getting any gold? I don't know about that. Tonight, they opened up Raw and lost to Judgment Day. Excellent match. But, unfortunately, a little bit short. Dolph Ziggler hits a super kick on Finn Balor, but turns around, walks right into the Reckoning and loses. After the match is over, see my little segue there? After the match is over, Finn Balor is bitching. Where's our documentaries? You know, I beat Ray. You know, we beat Edge. We did this. We laid him out. Why are they getting all these? Where's our documentaries? Edge shows up in a Hummer, and Judgment Day is not impressed. They go back to the fucking ring. Yeah, Edge, come on. Edge shows up, and he's not alone. Here comes Dominic and Ray. And before we go any further, you know, I got a kick out of this yesterday. This was the thumbnail for tonight. You know, Family Feud. And if you look, yes, that of course is Steve Harvey. But if you look, that's Rey Mysterio and that's The Miz. And I was surprised at how many people had no idea that they were on Celebrity Family Feud yesterday. And, Team Mysterio, and you know, look, I kind of felt bad for, was it David Mysterio? Like, I don't know who he is. I mean, maybe I'm supposed to. I'm not going to lie. You know, there was one person in the Mysterio family that kept making my eyes look the other way, you know, and thank God I didn't get caught looking, because I would have had to have been done a little Shawn Michaels or Robert Gibson, where maybe one eye... You know, if Aaliyah is over here, if my fiance is on this side and the picture is on that side, I would have been like this. Yeah, I could cross my eyes. But the Mysterios yesterday, that was Team Mysterio. They took on Team Miz. There you go. There's Team Miz. I didn't watch it yet, but I think... maybe Team Miz won, because they were celebrating afterwards. You know, this was the Mizanin family, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, where is Maryse? You know, it would have been a little bit better if it, you know. So, yeah, that was yesterday. Celebrity Family Feud. I'm going to go check that out tonight. But it was the Mizanin family versus the Mysterio family. Family Feud. But Edge is not alone. Dominic is there. Ray is there. They got Singapore Canes. And then something that we talked about weeks before everyone else, Dominic, you know, Rhea Ripley playing with Dominic's, you know, he's a young guy, naive, Rhea Ripley playing on him, you know, telling him, look, no, it's okay. Give me the Singapore Cane. Give it to me. Give it to me. And Dominic, you know, some people thought he was going to actually hit her. And he's a little reluctant. He's a little reluctant. And she gets the Singapore Cane from him. And she's laughing, but here comes Edge and Ray again. So she backs down. And we find out later that at Clash at the Castle, it will be Edge and Rey Mysterio versus the Judgment Day. And after that segment with Kurt Angle and Edge, Kurt Angle is in the same locker room with the Mysterios. Edge leaves. Kurt Angle leaves. Now we have Dominic and Ray alone. And Dominic says, what happened to family? You know, I thought it was going to be familia at Clash at the Castle. And Ray's like, look, I need somebody with more experience. I need Edge. And Ray's like, you're going to still be in our corner, right? I need you in our corner. Dominic is like, yeah, I'll be in your corner. So we're going to have Finn Balor and Damian Priest with Rhea Ripley in their corner versus Rey Mysterio and Edge with Dominic in their corner. And you know you're going to have Dominic and Rhea Ripley lock eyes again. And Rhea Ripley is going to try to get Dominic into that trance. It's not going to be sci-fi shit like everybody used to report. Whatever happened to that? So will Dominic turn Sunday? I will give everybody a little heads up. That's going to be part of the contests. One of the bonus questions will be, will Dominic turn on Ray and join Judgment Day? Will he do it? I'm not so sure. I don't know if they'll actually do it this soon, but I will say this. Nothing against any of the people in the ring, but I thought we were done with this. I thought, you know, when the Mysterios took on Judgment Day not too long ago, and then when Edge took on Damian Priest, I thought that was it. Didn't everyone feel like that was it? Now they go move on to other things. Next thing we know, they're still freaking fighting against Judgment Day. You know, so that's why I think Dominic ultimately is going to turn. You feel, and look, you know, look, any reason to put this picture back on the screen one more time? Look, Family Feud is done. How stupid would have it looked if on TV and storyline, Dominic turns on his dad, joins the Judgment Day, and then a week or two later, they're on Family Feud. Dun, 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 dun. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Oh, so let's get back. We were talking about Kurt Angle and Alpha Academy earlier. So the Street Profits show up. Next thing you know, we have the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. And I got to be honest with you, man. I had the same feelings tonight like I did when they had Danhausen representing Orange Cassidy, and it was, who was it? It was Tony Nese versus Orange Cassidy. That's what it was. And if Tony Nese won, Orange Cassidy would have been forced to sign a petition, and Swerve Strickland would have been gone from AEW. It was just like stupid. And they fucking continued that storyline for like 3 weeks. At least tonight it lasted about 7 minutes. They basically did a stipulation that if Alpha Academy would have lost tonight, would have won tonight, Kurt Angle would have been forced to join Alpha Academy. And you know Kurt Angle's not going to, you know, be around next week. He ain't joining Alpha Academy. So Street Profits win. This was fucking cool.
You join the Academy, all right?
Watch close.
Now you can mess with me.
Oh! I don't care. Yo, some people are like, oh, that's a pounce. Monty Brown wants his pounce back. That's not a fucking pounce. Look at, as impressive as this is, everyone. All right, as impressive as it is, I can't do slow-mo. But all he did was push him. He's like pushing him. Like, get out of my fucking way. You know what that was like? Why can't I get this off my screen? This is not good. This is not good at all. Maybe I have to close it? Yes. Oh, that's not good either. That's better. Almost had a technical difficulty here. You know, it's like if you're walking down the street and a car is coming. And you just like, get the fuck out of the street. You push someone like last minute to avoid a car coming. That's what Angelo Dawkins did to Otis. But when you realize the size of Otis, flying like that, oh my God, that was amazing, man. And I still do not want Street Profits to split up. You know, maybe once those tag titles are taken off of the Usos, maybe the Street Profits will get one set. Sami Zayn and KO will end up with keeping the other set. Maybe we'll get that. But, man, I just look back a month ago to now, and it's like, I don't care, man. The Street Profits, I know not everybody could get pushed at the same time. You know, I think we've all realized that. But, man, you know, you see this tonight and you're reminded to yourself like, wow, you know, like, how do you not pull a trigger and give them a little bit of a run? So, but that was great tonight. So Angelo Dawkins takes out Otis and Montez Ford with the frog splash on Chad Gable. He wins. Then they do a little celebration. Kurt Angle doesn't like what's in the solo cups. He spits it out. So Kurt Angle brings out milk and they're all drinking milk. So, fun times, fun times. It doesn't have to, you don't have to rethink the wheel sometimes with some of these segments, but it was good. I enjoyed it very much. So that leaves us with one other match. Do we have, that's pretty much, oh, two matches. Oh, we got to talk about The Miz. I have some fan cam to share with you. Before we do that, very quickly, just a warm-up, tune-up match for Saturday. Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Bianca Belair beat Kayla Sparks, Danny Moe, and Katie Arquette. Katie Arquette was on AEW television last week. Kayla Sparks has been on WWE and AEW television before. She was one of the early girls that Los Lotharios kissed on the cheek. And Danny Moe, I think, is from Ohio Valley Wrestling. They're not bad. They're not bad. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if WWE offered them deals. Seriously, they're not bad at all. So, Asuka makes Danny Moe tap out with the Asuka lock. And, you know, this is to set up Sunday a little bit. The Miz. Okay. Set this up first. What happened to the moderators? Damn it. What happened to the moderators? All right, hold on. Hide user in this channel. Don't worry, everyone. I see we had bots. I think I took care of it. I guess nobody's moderating tonight. I will be at the helm. I will be at the helm. That's okay. We got it. Hold on. I think we're good. Yeah, don't click on that stuff. Oh, I see Dream 101 is back. Gee, I wonder why Dream 101 is back tonight. Yeah, we got to talk about the arrest of Velveteen Dream. Some very sick shit to talk about tonight. Very sick shit. Oh, no, not Velveteen Dream. The internet wrestling community towards this man. I want to make it clear, I do not condone what this man did that caused him to be arrested. But there's some really sick shit going down tonight, and it's not a small, it's wrestling news sites doing it. We'll talk about it. I promise you, if you enjoyed, which it really wasn't meant to be enjoyed, but if you appreciated the Chase and Rance discussion on Saturday, you'll appreciate this. Sick what is going on tonight. I originally was going to tweet it. And then I was like, you know what? I posted the Chase and Rand stuff. He won the tag titles with a 16-year-old. We find out that the 16-year-old's parents are both convicted felons. And the mother has birthday parties at Team Dojo hosted by Chase and Rance. Chase and Rance, you remember the adventures of Ford Fairlane? You remember when Andrew Dice Clay showed up at the sorority and he's looking around and he sees all the girls? He didn't grab anybody's ass. He didn't grab anybody's tits. He just looked around. He's like, I think I died and went to heaven. I'm not saying that Chase and Rance did anything illegal, but, you know, you're a convicted sex offender. You think it's okay to put a tag title on yourself and a 16-year-old? And you're smiling from ear to ear on video? I truthfully believe, and I've been shitting on this guy since 2006, and I had to pull back because people were living with him that I was friends with. But let me tell you something. I'm going to make a prediction. I think one day, Chase and Rance is going to get himself into legal hot water again, and I'm going to say this very, very carefully so I don't get sued. My prediction is Chase and Rance will get himself in hot water. And when he does, someone is going to come out and try to make the claim that Chase and Rance, you know, even though he's in his 30s, maybe hitting 40 soon, he's got the mentality of a 16-year-old. I'm telling you, man. Tell me in what planet it's normal that a convicted sex offender, even if all the parents know that all the kids are, that they all know that a sex offender is training their kids, even if they're fine with it, even if Jason Rance is, you know, has learned his lesson, you know, he's still a convicted sex offender. And in what planet is it okay that a current existing sex offender poses as a tag team champion with a 16-year-old. And here's the worst part about it. I posted it online. About 20 people gave a shit. If it was Joey Ryan, there would have been thousands. Here you got a convicted sex offender posing with a teenager, and nobody gives a fuck. And then you see the Velveteen Dream stuff today, and that was sick. You know what? Let's just throw it out there now. I'll get into it 2 seconds. Then we'll finish up Raw and we'll get out of here because it's getting late, very, very early. The Super Chat came in, and I was going to cover it anyway. Well, that's a little slow, small. Ronald Crackdonald, DT, my thoughts on Velveteen Dream getting arrested for drugs. Okay. I'm assuming that you read the cut and paste websites, because one cut and paste website said that he was arrested for an out-of-state warrant for drug paraphernalia. That is probably what you all have read a million times tonight. That's because whoever broke that, all they did was read a website. They read a court site without doing any research. The fact is, Velveteen Dream had a previous warrant, drug-related. He had a warrant out for his arrest, probably did not appear in court when he was supposed to. Okay? All right. He was arrested for battery and, oh, what was trespassing, I think it was. Battery and trespassing. Florida. They let him out on $120. Now, I know a lot of you seen $1,200 bond. I sell bonds. It's part of my career in insurance. It only cost $120 plus administrative costs. Velveteen Dream got out paying less than $200. So that just goes to show you how serious the battery and the trespassing was, okay? I'm not downplaying what Velveteen Dream, real name Patrick Clark, did. Why am I so pissed off about this? Look, if he committed battery, he was trespassing, drug violations, he deserves whatever the penalties are. What I read tonight from podcasters, wrestling news sites, thousands of fans, they're either happy that this man is in trouble, or they're disappointed that the arrests did not have to do with minors. I watched a wrestling news site tonight actually write that, ah, man, he didn't get caught with any underage kids. The fuck is wrong with you people? You know, in this age where, oh, bullying, people blowing their brains out, fucking people having depression, we got to be better than that, we got to do this, this, that. The minute somebody gets in trouble, you're disappointed because it didn't involve an underage person. And yet, Jason Rance, who hasn't done anything illegal in 14 years, convicted in 11, but is still a registered sex offender, that doesn't mean nothing. Or other people, that doesn't mean anything. But this guy, too bad it didn't involve a minor. He would have been locked away for 30 years. I hope you get run over by a car. Seriously. I hope something seriously happens to you. That is so fucked up. You know, when I was a kid, my dad always said to me, don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. Just because someone else, you don't justify it by doing, and these people are all, you know, against this guy. I get it. You don't like him. I get it. You feel like he got away with something, you know, but the turnaround, that is disgusting. And I'm watching people that you're supposed to, like, consider journalists, and you got thousands of people liking that stuff. You people are fucked up, sick, sick in the head, sick in the head. Fuck them all. So that is what happened with Patrick Clark. When I get an update, I'll be more than happy to share it with everyone. And again, whatever, you know, his penalties are, he's got to pay the price. Hopefully, you know, he learns from it and he becomes a better person because of it. But the turnaround and the shit I read today, you people are dirt. Garbage. All right. So let's wrap up Raw, and then we got a little Vince McMahon news. Little Vince McMahon news. So, The Miz tonight. We get a backstage segment first. He's with Ciampa, Adam Pearce. Dexter Lumis is out of jail. Miz is not happy about it. Adam Pearce asks The Miz, what happened last week with you and Dexter Lumis? Miz don't want to talk about it. I realize that a lot of people out there never saw the Theory Dexter Lumis storyline. Remember, do I think The Miz is going to say, oh, we hung out, we watched cartoons and ate cereal all day? No, we're not going to get any of that. But The Miz, he's obviously a little freaked out from Dexter Lumis because he's very on edge. He's looking around. So obviously, whatever happened with Dexter Lumis last week was not a pleasant one for The Miz. So The Miz tonight is facing Bobby Lashley, non-title match. And The Miz is like, to Adam Pearce, he's like, you give a shit about me that much? You put me in a match with Bobby Lashley? You know, that's how much you care about me? So we get that set up. Now, The Miz has a match with Bobby Lashley. I'm telling you, man, I want Miz's... If somebody said to me right now, you could take anything from The Miz outside of Maryse, and you can have it. Like, any trait about The Miz, I want his eyesight. I want his fucking eyesight. I thought it was goofy, but I'm going to share you some fan cam. The Miz is having his match with Bobby Lashley. And then The Miz just stops in the middle of the match. And he looks up. And because he looks up, everybody's like, in section 754, Dexter Lumis is in the rafters. Even if there was spotlights, even if unless the entire building was blacked out, if the entire building was blacked out and it looked like, it's Sting, and you would have just had that one beam of spotlight, I could see that. But they never took the lights off. And, Miz is looking up, and I'm like, there's no fucking way you could see him from up there. If you want an idea of how far up Dexter Lumis was, and understand, again, they didn't dim the lights. If they would have dimmed the light, now, I know what you're going to say. Why would they dim the lights for Dexter Lumis, who's not supposed to be there? I get it. I get it. But look how high up this motherfucker is. Up that motherfucker is. How do you spot that? How do you spot that? Look at that. I mean, that's cool, don't get me wrong. How do you spot that? They had you, Michael, they had a very, very dim light. And then, but look at the first time Miz looks at him. There was no focus on Dexter Lumis. You got to look at it from the Miz's eyes. You're in the middle of the match. Dexter Lumis is all the way up there. Even if there was a light all the way up there, why would you look at section 700? It was a little ridiculous. It was a little ridiculous. But look, I'm a huge fan of Dexter Lumis. So the fact that he's still on TV, hey, I'm fine with it. So Miz takes his eye off the ball. Lashley puts the hurt lock on Miz. Miz is done. Afterwards, Miz wants to leave. He's outside, goes to his SUV. Ciampa's like, you okay? You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I just want to leave. I'm fine. Somebody tries to interview Miz. Look, I don't want to talk about it. I want to leave. Miz has got this giant SUV. And as he pulls away, you know, if I'm hiding out in somebody's SUV and I plan to assault them, the last thing I'm going to do is put the little magazine light on in the back. And look at Miz's face. if you look at Miz's face, it looks like he sees in his rearview mirror that there is a beam of light and maybe a head in the back of the truck. And he drives away anyway. So maybe Miz is in a trance that he doesn't want to be around Dexter Lumis, but there's something about it that the Miz goes along with it anyway. I'm loving the Dexter Lumis stuff, man. It's a little goofy, obviously, but it's good. It's still good. It's still good. I'm enjoying it, man. So Miz drives away, and Dexter Lumis is inside the vehicle. Now, why wouldn't he not get arrested for that? So that's what happened with Miz and Dexter Lumis tonight. So outside of that, that was your episode of Raw. You know, again, I'm not going to repeat everything I said at the beginning of the show. You know, I saw somebody write a few moments ago that Aaliyah even pinned the wrong legal person. You know, I don't know how you all feel about this, but if they're going to go with that next week, where we're going to see the replay and, you know, remember, this is the Triple H regime. This is not the Vince McMahon regime. We've had stupid shit in the past where the referee counted the wrong person or the person in the ring wasn't the legal person. Didn't we just have something with the Street Profits right at the beginning or right, you know, when one of the Uso pulled up his arm or something, or no, it was Montez Ford pulled up his arm or something. I mean, you know, you realize that a lot of these clusterfuck shits is the same stuff as before. Remember what I pointed out last week? The finish of the SmackDown women's match with Toxic Attraction before Gigi got injured, the finish of that match was the exact finish of the Raw match. Remember, I almost gave away a prize last week. Nobody picked up on it. You know, Asuka put a finisher on the wrong person. She didn't see the blind tag. Same thing with Natalya. She didn't see the blind tag, and she goes and puts the sharpshooter on the wrong person, and she gets rolled up. So we're seeing same shit over and over and over and over and over again. So, you know, look, I'm not complaining, man. Raw and SmackDown have been better. And just the hope and the energy and the excitement and the idea that we will see some creative difference, and look at Rollins and Riddle tonight. Perfect example of that. You know, couple little things is not going to spoil it for me. I'm still enjoying this shit. But it just goes to show you, you got to keep the Triple H stuff in check. Just keep it, you know, a little bit more realistic. You know, some people out there really think that everything is going to be different on TV. You know, sausage. Didn't we say a month ago that WWE was going to be interested in bringing back Braun Strowman? Weren't they going to be interested in bringing back Jonah? All you had to do is look at the names that are on the free agent market that still, you know, had value that we feel shouldn't have been released. And, you know, you could do that too. And now everybody's like, hey, yo, this is confirmed. Bullshit. Everybody knows that they're interested. You could figure out who they're interested in bringing back and not. And, I got to share with you this. You might find this interesting. Brandon Thurston deserves all the credit for this. But I wanted to show you this graph that I think is worth looking at. A lot of people don't realize, but we're now at the one-year mark where live fans have returned to televised events, house shows. I think it was July for WWE. Right around this time, it was AEW as well. AEW had some fans, I mean, but this is really like full-blown fans back in attendance. And I think we all expected that first graph, which is quarter three of 2021, which was 1 year ago. We all knew that pro wrestling's numbers were going to be inflated because fans did not get to go to live events for about 2 years. And we knew once that feeling of we're back with live events, it was going to stabilize. And if you look at SmackDown, after that initial return to fans, for about three straight quarters, which is 9 months worth, their attendance was pretty even. when you look at Raw. Raw, after the first 3 months of a return to fans, it took a decent drop, substantial drop. And then it gradually came up, and then you got the purple. You know, that purple is 3 months. That is not just Triple H. And believe me when I tell you, Triple H has not had that many fans return to live events where the graph would have been much different if Vince was still around. But you could see the overall vibe of the WWE climate. You look at AEW, and AEW, I know some people are going to say, well, that's because CM Punk was injured. Bullshit. Well, that's because Bryan Danielson didn't wrestle a couple of weeks. Bullshit. Because even when you go back, you know, when you see some of these wrestlers when they were in the ring, you know, who are they wrestling? You know, I'm outside of pay-per-views. But you look at this last quarter, you know, everything else feels like pro wrestling is on the rise. And this last quarter, you know, you look at the numbers. This is probably the lowest that AEW's had with live fans in the last year. Now, I'm not crapping on AEW, you know, but the next 3 months are going to be very, very interesting with AEW. Because you know if MJF's going to return, it's going to happen very, very soon. You know, if CM Punk, we don't know what's going to transpire this Wednesday with Dynamite, but if there's going to be some major shifts in some storylines for some people, it's going to be really interesting to see how this attendance goes up. But remember what I said on Saturday. When you look at these graphs, understand there's no demos involved. It's no demos involved. That's why the demos should only matter to the networks, the advertisers, and the wrestling companies. Not us. Not us. Because at the end of the day, if your attendance is down 25%, 35%, you know, that's 35% less customers that are buying your shit. It's not based on age. So I just figured I'd show that to you. Some people think MJF won't return. Some people think he will return. But they have such a loaded roster. You know, I don't think fans are no longer, you know, tuning in or going to live events because MJF is not there. I don't buy that at all. By the way, some ratings news and a winner to last week's contest. Oh, also main event results from tonight, Shelton Benjamin over R-Truth, Cedric Alexander over T-Bar. SmackDown's rating was 1,000,990, preempted in some markets. Rampage was 431, not too much down, but down a little bit from last week's 461. Last week we did a Raw rating predictions contest to win this Paul Heyman Funko Pop and the autographed WWE Tops card. Last week's Raw rating was 2,005,000. Congratulations to Michael Gonzalez. He predicted 2,001,000. And he gets the Paul Heyman Funko Pop and the signed card. If you tune into last week's show, you could look at the live chat and you could see that he was the closest and the first person to predict that close of a number. Congrats to you. So right now, with Clash at the Castle, we got six matches. Based on the SmackDown spoilers, I don't think we're getting any more. We might get one more. I don't know where. But right now, it's only six matches. You have Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre for the undisputed WWE Universal title. You have Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm not giving out spoilers, but that match is not going to change. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka versus Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. Six-woman tag match. We got Riddle versus Seth Rollins. I hope they add a stip. Right now, it's a straight-up wrestling match. Is it going to end up with a double countout, a double disqualification? Are these guys going to just brawl all over the place? And is, because I don't want it to be a straight-up wrestling match. I get it. Extreme Rules is coming up. That's where they'll have the stip. But I think you got to do something, especially after tonight. I mean, storyline-wise, if I'm Riddle, I beat the fuck out of that guy and I get disqualified in 2 minutes. I start smashing his head into the guardrail. I start giving him curb stomps. I give him curb stomps so much that he's got the metal grating tattooed to his cheekbone. But I don't think we're going to get that. Gunther. You go, Gunther. That streak is over. The Intercontinental Championship will be defended on a pay-per-view after a couple of years of futility. We have Gunther defending the IC title against Sheamus. And then Edge and Rey Mysterio with Dominic in their corner versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest with Rhea Ripley in their corner. You know, maybe some matches should be added. They're going to be in front of 70-something thousand fans. You, seriously. Again, we'll do predictions Friday. And we'll do them fast because obviously the next day will be Clash at the Castle. But we'll go beyond predictions. We'll just look at what will transpire beyond Clash at the Castle. But you have to leave yourself thinking about this. They know they're in front of 70-something thousand people. This is going to be a Wembley moment for someone. Something coming out of this is going to be a moment that we're going to remember 5, 10, 20 years from now. You don't perform in front of 70-something thousand and not give them some major title change or some major shift somewhere. If Shayna Baszler beat Liv Morgan for the title, I don't think people would care as much as you think. Let's be honest. Other than that, you know, we need something gigantic, something mammoth needs to happen at Clash at the Castle. And I think if we just have Roman retain and, you know, Bianca's team wins, regardless if Riddle or Rollins wins, we're going to win in that match because you know it's going to be fucking phenomenal unless it ends in a clusterfuck, like we said. You know, you feel like something else has got to happen. Something else. You know, the way SummerSlam ended with Brock turning the ring upside down, do I think it's going to be that magnitude? No. Could somebody show up that we have not seen in a while? Possibly. But something huge has got to happen to Clash at the Castle. I think everybody agrees with that. The Fiend return, that's not a bad one. Bray Wyatt returns. I think people would be fine with that. I think the UK fans, if Bray returned. But I don't want to see Fiend Bray. I mean, look, I have said it repeatedly. I could look all over this fucking house and find tons of Fiend stuff laying around. But I want Bray Wyatt to return or a variation of Bray Wyatt. You know, cult Bray Wyatt. No Firefly Funhouse. I don't think we need to go back to that. I want, you know, cult leader Bray Wyatt to return. So, all right. Before we start wrapping this up, something I wanted to share with you. For anybody that's not a member of Peacock right now, I know I said yesterday this shit sucks, but I have a whole case of it, so I'm drinking it anyway. Oh, it sucks. If you're not a subscriber to Peacock right now, now I know that they say new members, but I already talked to four people who had canceled their membership and then resubscribed, and they got the deal as well. Right now, Peacock is offering $19.99 for 1 year of service. So normally it's $4.99 a month. Do the math. Was it $60? You could get 1 year of Peacock right now for $19.99. That's getting WWE for less than $2 a month. If you got Peacock just for WWE, less than 50 cents a week. You can't go wrong. So this is not something that's really being pushed in a lot of areas. But if you're not, and look, if you have more than one email address, and I don't care if I piss anybody off. If you have more than one email address, you know, go register in the other email. Register in the other email, get the $19.99 for the whole year and cancel the other one. You know, I haven't done it yet. I mean, I found out about this morning, but I plan on doing that. Absolutely. So, NXT tomorrow and Dynamite Wednesday. You know, I brought this up yesterday. This week, this might be a first since AEW has been in business. This might be a first. This week we have 5 go-home shows. We have 5 go-home shows leading to pay-per-views / premium live events. Raw, go-home to Clash at the Castle, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, Rampage. These are go-home shows. Now, Rampage, obviously pre-recorded, but look, they're going to announce 1 or 2 matches at Rampage. They always do. So you're going to see something concrete happen at Rampage to lead into All Out. We got 5 go-home shows this week. Now, as far as NXT goes, you know, Grayson Waller versus Apollo Crews, it's going to be good, but that's not affecting Worlds Collide in any way. Last Legend and Pretty Deadly versus Briggs, Jensen, and Fallon Henley, probably going to end up in a clusterfuck. But still, that's those guys on both sides, they're not facing off at Worlds Collide. Gallus and versus Diamond Mind. And we'll see what happens with Roddy Strong tomorrow night. Come on, guys. And Tatum Paxley and Ivy Nile versus Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. I'm going to say Casey Catanzaro. Katana Chance. Non-title match. That's for tomorrow. I got to be honest with you. That feels like a less than stellar lead-in to Worlds Collide. And Worlds Collide, I mean, it's happening Sunday afternoon, you know, hours before AEW, so they're not overlapping each other. But that's not the card I would have expected leading into Worlds Collide. Now, Dynamite, this Wednesday, we got who I call Shitterstorm. Shitterstorm, Hikaru Shida and Tony Storm teaming up against the Baker haters, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. We have Jake Hager. They should have Hager and Hayter team up. Seriously, let them be a mixed tag. Hayter and Hayter. Hager and Hayter. Sounds like a law firm. Shit, I got sued today. Look at this fucking legal letter from the law office of Hager and Hayter. You have been summoned to court. Patrick Clark. Hager versus Danielson. Will Ospreay and Aussie Open versus the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. The winner of that match, Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, will go on to the finals at All Out to take on either Best Friends or the Dark Order. I think it'll come down to the Best Friends versus the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Unless, remember the idea, maybe 10 cannot compete next week, or this weekend, I should say, and maybe Hangman Page takes his spot. It's possible. I don't know why they took 10 off that banner last week. He fucking wrestled anyway. John Moxley will talk again. I'll take Moxley every week, but you know, it just gets a little tiresome after a week. Oh, John Moxley will speak. Ricky Starks will speak. CM Punk will speak. Bryan Danielson has something to say. You know, I don't know. Sting, right now, where's Sting? He's probably in his hotel room. It's late. Man is in his 60s. He's got to get his sleep. Sting will probably do something at the pay-per-view. We might, who knows? Maybe we get Miro, the Redeemer. The Redeemer, he redeemed 3 matches since June. The Redeemer. Maybe he teams up with Sting and Darby Allin versus the House of Black. We might even get that match at All Out. So this Wednesday, by the way, me, I will be here Wednesday. So I don't get married till Saturday. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. My fiance is almost throwing up. She's nervous. She's crying. I shot video of her crying, trying to figure out the wedding song. And I heard sobbing. I took my phone and I went into the other room and I said, smile. And she was crying like a baby because she was listening to all the wedding songs. She doesn't know. Do you all want to know what we chose? I don't like the song. I grew up on this song. I heard this song trillions of times over. Can anybody guess what the song is? It's a female singer. It's a female singer. She still sings to this day. This song is from the mid-80s. Do you all want to know? Or should we just wrap up the show? Should I reveal it? It's not a bad song, but let me give you all props. Let me give you all, and I'm being serious for a minute. She's a nervous wreck. And she says to me, "Are you nervous?" I said, "No, not really." She's like, "Why aren't you nervous?" I said, "You know why? I think because I'm doing shows every day. I'm making thumbnails. I'm picking topics. I'm thinking of myself what we're going to talk about. We're putting shit online. I'm doing this. I'm like, I'm keeping myself busy." So I think keeping myself busy has kept me from being a nervous wreck. Total, listen to me. Total eclipse of the heart. I'll divorce myself. I hate that song. Why would somebody get married to that? Total eclipse of the heart. Turn around. I always thought she said turn around brown eye. You ever hear that turn around brown eye? You know what a brown eye is? When I grew up, I honestly thought she said turn around brown eye. And I said that once to my friends and like brown eye, the fuck, that's how you roll. I'm like, no, I didn't know what they were talking about. Madonna's Crazy for You. I thought we were choosing a Brian McKnight song because when I proposed, that song popped up. I proposed. I never posted the video, but when I proposed, I had a TV on that was playing music, and the fucking Brian McKnight song came on literally when she walked through the door. And it was like the wedding gods, you know, the engagement gods were like, "Here you go, DT, go get laid." You know, and I was like, "Yeah, I thought we were going with that." And she went with that song. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but understand my age. I was a teenager when Madonna's Crazy for You came out. I went to clubs. You know, how many of you gone to parties and clubs, and what's the last song they play before they're done? Not every club, but how many of you go to a club or a party and the last song they play before the night's over? I guarantee you someone in the chat room will get it right. I guarantee you. I'll wait a few seconds before I say it. It's a dance song, but no, yeah, well, we're going to be waiting for a while because it's like a time delay. So anyway, it's Donna Summer's Last Dance. That's usually the one that a lot of places go to. Last Dance, Donna Summer, and then it's over. Party's over. I went to clubs in 85 and 86 where the last song they played was that. And I still remember, God honest truth, I still remember going to one club one night where everybody was either stoned or drunk. And this song came on and everybody was like zenning. People were just like, you're hearing the song and people are just like. And I still have that memory to this day. I think I just walked backwards. I think I had a drink in my hand and the song was on and I had no date that night. And I think I was just walking backwards for some reason. I just was walking in a circle backwards with a drink. Everybody was, now I got to dance to that. All right. You will not see me doing the electric slide. So I don't do that. I don't even dance. So anyway, all right, so let's bring this home. We're at 80 minutes. You notice no coughing tonight. I got sick as a dog last Monday night into Tuesday. I didn't go to work last Tuesday. That's how sick I got. I don't know what the hell happened. But, you know, I was coughing up a storm here. We didn't even talk about Beth Phoebe. Shit, we didn't even talk. Well, we did talk a little bit about her earlier. I'm surprised how many people want to see Beth Phoenix versus Rhea Ripley. I think people forgot that Beth Phoenix can still go a little bit. You know, she ain't 55 years old. She could still do it a little bit. I actually wouldn't mind to see Rhea Ripley versus Beth Phoenix. I think you have more of a chance of Rhea versus Beth than a mixed tag match. I know a lot of people think, oh, have Edge and Beth Phoenix take on Rhea Ripley and either Damian Priest or Finn Balor. I think it would probably lean towards Damian Priest. But I'm surprised how many people want to see Beth versus Rhea Ripley. And they are kind of teasing it a little bit. So who knows? That might end up being a match at Extreme Rules. Sure, why not? Shout out to Eric Williams. Much love, my friend. I hope you're around tomorrow for the watch party. And I invite all of you. If you're not doing anything tomorrow, stop by to the watch party. You know, we're going to watch NXT, talk about wrestling, talk about whatever. And then after the watch party tomorrow, I will be on Patreon. Now, I will not be here in my, you know, location tomorrow. I actually, tomorrow, Tuesday and Thursday, I got to stay by the parents' house. because the next day I got to bring stuff to the wedding hall. So today, this week is crazy for yours truly. So tomorrow when we do the watch party, if I'm on camera, I'm going to be from a laptop, chilling in the bed. So I will keep my shirt on. I promise you all that. So, all right. So let's do this. Still a little early. Why don't we get into a couple of quick questions? Something that doesn't require too many brain cells. So if you're in the live chat right now and you have something, you know, specific you want me to answer, you know, maybe pertinent to what we talked about tonight, post it. You know, we'll do that for like 10 minutes and we'll get out of here. And then, you know, we'll call it a night. So nothing is undecided. I got pretty much everything tonight. Who's my best man? I have two, my brother and her brother. I wanted to flip a coin. And she's like, you ain't thick flipping no fucking coin because you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. So I have both. So I have two. I had to buy two freaking gifts this year. I don't know. The cha-cha slide? No. What happened to Lacey Evans? That's a good question, Roderick. Lacey Evans, I expect her to be back next week, SmackDown, or the week after at the latest. I'm intrigued with the Aaliyah storyline. Her napping outside the ring two matches in a row and then just stealing, not stealing the win, but getting the having the win abrupt, like we two matches in a row. You know, that's not just, hey, you know, we don't know what to do tonight. You know, just her laid out doing nothing. Are we going to get lazy, Aaliyah, where she just lets Raquel do all the work and she goes, I don't know if it'll be blatant like that, but that's the vibe I got the last 2 weeks. You know, like she's all excited. We won. And I'm like, you didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing. You sat on your fucking Aaliyah's lazy ass. She was just laid out. I mean, I know she was taken out in the match, but that's two matches in a row where she was incapacitated far too long. That doesn't feel like someone who should be champion. I'm not saying that Aaliyah is not championship material down the line. I'm not saying that at all. It's just you look at the tournament, you look at how she's been used. Remember the whole thing with her and Lacey Evans? She came off like an idiot. She came off like a moron. Lacey Evans putting down the country, you know, and then she's just like looking at the referee like, I'm like, take the mic away from her. And storyline, that was when Vince was still at the helm. They did not make Aaliyah look good. Her claim to fame is, you know, I beat you in 316 or 317. Remember that night I said, Aaliyah 317 says, I just pin your ass. I actually was the first to come up with that. But that's her claim to fame. Fluke win. And you need more, in my opinion. I'm not, my wedding is just mainly family. 2-3 people from the neighborhood. I'm not having close friends. I couldn't afford it. I paid 90% of this wedding myself, and the rest I had to charge it. I fell short. I did not ask my family for a penny. I did not ask her family for a penny. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I was doing so many shows also. You know, when Pro Wrestling TV seeked me out and said, we'd love for you to be part of our network, and they asked me, they said, why do you want to join us? And I said, you know, it's a new channel. I'd love to grow with you. I want to see how big it could get. I'd love to be, you know, a big contributor. And they said, yeah, anything else? I said, yeah, I need to make money. I'd get married. I got to pay off a wedding. I don't lie. What's so? Wow, everybody's asking wedding songs. Wow. I don't think a lot of people would want that. Oh, I had Vince news. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Oral Carter. Cooked sausage. Not disrespecting any reporter out there. But when the Vince McMahon scandal came out, you know that there were specific sites that were trying to convince you that something insanely major, like what you saw was just the tip of the iceberg. People were predicting criminal stuff. people were predicting that. Remember those two guys from, what was it, Variety? They went on Busted Open, and they were like, they were confused, like, why is this not a bigger story? Well, I'll tell you why, geniuses, because you can't fucking force it into a big story when it's not. Vince McMahon is a pig. Vince McMahon made $350 million in the last 45 days, and people are focused on 10, 12 million from 10 years ago that he paid off women, you know? And let's, again, nothing against Christy Hemme, and we only call her out now because she never went public and said, listen, guys, it's not me. If it wasn't her, she would tell, hey, everybody, stop using my name. It's not me. She never did that. If she was accosted, abused, whatever you want to call it, way back when, 06, 07, or whatever it was, and then waited until 10 years later, pay me, motherfucker. You know, I'm happy that she got paid. Hey, somebody fucked you up, and now they're negotiating a $1 billion deal? You're paying me. Otherwise, you know, but let's also not, you know, deny the fact. That kind of sounds a little bit like blackmail. I'm just telling it like it is. You know, a lot of people in the entertainment world, you reap what you sow, and you end up dealing with, you know, people. And when people commit criminal activity, you know, you go to the cops or you get out of there as quickly as fucking possible. You don't stay there for 2, 3, 4 years. You know, and still just take it, take it, take it. My point is that some of these women, you know, that Vince slept with, I think Vince, you know, slept with them and knew, like, one day I'm going to have to pay for this one. That's some really expensive pussy here. You know, we don't see anybody come in. Did anybody come out and accuse Vince of doing something disgusting? No, the journalist did. Variety did. You know, the people that hate Vince did. If women would have came out and said, that, yo, look, Rita, that story is horrible, and she still brings it up to this day, and it's fucked up, no question. But you look at everyone else, any woman come out, when people are like, oh, this woman was passed around like a toy. I'm not trying to be an asshole. How do you know that she didn't like getting fucked by John Laurinaitis? Why? Because people online find it so disgusting. How could anybody want to have sex with a 70-year-old in John Laurinaitis? How do you know? How do you know? If she would have said, I was passed around like a toy, and I was being used and abused, and I was forced to do things, that's different. That was not said by any victim, but everybody else that hated Vince said it. So you look at all this stuff. What happened at that time? You saw people in the wrestling world. Our sources tell us Netflix has crushed the deal. The documentary they did, that's it. It's over. Fat chance. No way in hell is that documentary ever going to see the light of day. Remember all that clickbait shit from 2 months ago? What did I say July 25th? When this investigation is done and nothing else comes out, that fucking documentary will be completed. Vince McMahon will ultimately go into the WWE Hall of Fame. Vince McMahon will still be celebrated by a lot of people in the wrestling world. And then you're going to realize that a lot of people online either have a vendetta against Vince McMahon, a hatred for Vince McMahon, or they wanted to use the Vince McMahon story to try to get their names in the history books. This person broke this. This person said that. We found out last week, Friday afternoon, Netflix is finishing the documentary. That's the Vince McMahon news. Netflix is going forward, and they are going to start preparing it to finish it. Knew that a mile. You don't spend. Listen, I'm not accusing anything negative on Netflix. How many goddamn documentaries have you seen Netflix film about people who are in fucking jail for life? How many documentaries have you seen? Look at Mike Tyson stuff and everything else. I'm not saying the stuff that's out now. What makes you think what Vince McMahon did was so goddamn awful that Netflix, who invested all these millions and millions of dollars, were going to turn around and say, that shit, that's it, it's dead. It'll never finish. We will never do. No, 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 no. That sounded insane when it was first said. And people bought it, reported it, reposted it, reposted it. And I said July 25th, 2022. Once this investigation closed, I posted 3 weeks ago on Sausage. I said, the investigation is just about over. And it's over. And the only other money they found was that he gave some money to Trump. You know, and you know, I don't want to go there with the Trump stuff. I'm not interested in that Trump shit anymore. But you don't think that money wasn't given to Trump when he did the WrestleMania stuff and the Bobby Lashley stuff and everything like that? Everybody's acting naive. I got to pull out my hotline reports from that time when we talked about that shit. Everybody and their mother knew that Vince was giving something to Trump as a result. Why didn't anybody check the books in 2008, whatever it was? Why didn't anybody check the books the following year? Where did that money for Trump go? Anybody asked the question? No. So now after all these years, people are bringing up, where were you when that story was out? How come nobody brought it up then? Because nobody gave a shit. So the documentary is going to be finished. It is going to air. Vince McMahon's story will be a controversial one. But in the end, Vince McMahon, just like Ric Flair and others, will be celebrated, will be cheered, will be loved. You know, there's a lot of controversy, no question. But Vince McMahon, in the end, is going to get the end of the story in his way. And you look back at 2022 when he fought Austin, when he did the interview with McAfee, when he did some of the things that he did, and he was back on TV a little bit. Now you look back at 2022 and you could say to yourself, this guy knew 2022 was his last year. Vince McMahon knew. That's it. So he fights Austin. He does the McAfee interview. Does all these things because he knew the end was there. The pay-per-view, the end is near. Remember, the end is near. Vince knew. Way before the investigation started, he knew 2022 was his last year. And you see him hanging out with Cena and McAfee and Brock and others. You know, you don't see anybody going up to those people. How could you be seen with that guy? They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. So the Vince documentary is going to be back on. It is going to complete. And we'll see what happens. So, okay. I did see that. Mandy Rose has a contest right now where you could win a lunch date with her. You could actually hang out ringside. I don't have all the details, but I think there's a charity involved where you could place a donation or buy something. So I'll get the details and I'll post it on Wednesday's Dynamite. But with that said, wow, we've gone 95 minutes and it feels like we've gone 3 hours. So, and I'm not complaining, but it is. Oh, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. There is something about Raw I totally forgot about. That's why I keep all my pictures before I close the show out. We didn't talk about this. Johnny Gargano. And Theory, he didn't get Austin back yet, but he will. Johnny Gargano and Theory had a little bit of a segment today. Interesting, because last week Johnny Gargano super kicked Theory. But what we had was Johnny Gargano was in an empty building, probably tonight's empty building. And he's being interviewed about returning and, you know, what happened last week. And he gives a little bit of props to Theory. He's like, look, you know, Theory has all, you know, he's a specimen. He has all the things I don't. And he appreciates Theory, even though what happened last week. And he's talking a few things. And here comes Theory walking down the walkway. Theory's not looking to attack Gargano today. Theory's like, no, look, you hit me last week. He's like, I just want to talk. So Theory sits down and Theory says, you know, because he heard Johnny Gargano saying, like, look, when I had my kid, Theory never even called me. You know, so Theory turns around and says, hey, you never called me when I won the United States title. You never called me when I became Mr. Money in the Bank. You never called me whenever anything I did. And I'll be honest with you, Johnny Gargano looked a little bit weak in that segment because Johnny Gargano's like, oh, well, I had a baby and this and that. And Theory's like, oh, it sounds like excuses. look, I love Gargano, but if you go back and you watch that segment, probably should not have been brought up that way, because it made Gargano should not be one trying to find excuses. And when Theory was, look, it's a storyline, but when Theory was throwing those things out, well, what about you? You didn't do this with me. And Johnny's like, well, you know, I was busy. And I was, you know, it's like, you know, made Theory look strong. So we're going to get a Gargano Theory feud, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. I'm happy that Gargano is back. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here. I just wish people out there would stop about the Indy Hartwell coming to Raw stuff. I mean, you know, people are forcing it, putting on banners, Miz and Maryse versus Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. You know, I'm a regular NXT viewer. Majority of those people that write that are not NXT viewers for the most part. I like Indy Hartwell, but personally, I don't think that storyline with her and Dexter Lumis married on the main roster is going to work. I don't think it's going to work. There's not enough people to interact with. Once you go through The Miz, then what are you going to do? So, you know, I just wish people would, you know, stop that. Could it happen down the line? Sure. But I don't see that at all. So, Charlie, I explained yesterday in detail why I backed off on the Jeff Hardy rental car stuff. Somebody who I very much respect in the pro wrestling world, that's been around for many decades, who, you know, I don't want to give any hints because people will figure out who it is right away. That person said to me, like, DT, you know, I think you should pull back on this. You know, just let it be, let the courts, if it comes out in the court, let it come out in the court, you know. And I think back to the Kamala stuff, and I think back to the Perry Saturn stuff. And even if I reveal who the person is that rented the car, all right, what am I gonna, like, what am I getting out of it? People are gonna be like, you're gonna call me a dick. You know, like, it, there's nothing to benefit from it. I just want Jeff to get better. I think we all want Jeff to get better. I'm not gonna go there. I was going to, and then I talked to people who I very, very much respect, and they said to me, let it go. So I let it go. All right. So we're going to wrap this up. So if you're around Wednesday night, 10:05 p.m., you're more than welcome to join me live right here for Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll get, oh, Wednesday, we are going to do predictions for All Out, and we are going to do quick predictions for NXT. Because, you know, look, I know a lot of people think that with NXT UK ending, that a majority of the NXT UK talent are not going to win these unified matches. I'm still a little leaning towards Maiko Satomura. Still leaning towards Maiko Satomura. I say Maiko. Some people say it differently. I love her work. I think she actually will kick ass on the NXT roster, and I'm not discounting the possibility that she actually walks out with both championships. So we'll do predictions for All Out. We'll do predictions for NXT, and you know, we'll get into a couple other tidbits Wednesday as far as news, and then we got Friday night. And then that's it. I'll be off Saturday and Sunday, and then next Monday we'll get at. Next Monday is going to be a loaded show, because I'm sure I'll have a few things to say about All Out. I'll have a few things to say about NXT, Raw, Clash at the Castle. You know, we'll see if Drew does pull it off. I still think Drew's going to get it. I'm surprised. I'll leave you with this. I'm almost shocked as to how few people believe Drew McIntyre is winning Clash at the Castle. The produced segments online, I don't know if you saw the one that just came out that's focused around him and his wife. I just feel that to keep having these well-produced segments to lead to disappointment, I just don't see that this time around with Drew McIntyre. I'm not saying it'll break Drew McIntyre if he loses, But I honestly got this vibe that, yeah, I could see them leaving Clash at the Castle with 70,000 plus in the UK going bananas for Drew McIntyre. And I think Sami Zayn might be the cause of the loss. Do not discount that. I think Sami Zayn could, in fact, weigh heavy on this loss. But we'll talk about it Friday. So, all right, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would greatly appreciate it if you smash that like button. What did we say earlier? To chop the like button? So, no, angle slam, because it was Kurt Angle tonight. Angle slam that like button. And if you have any comments regarding tonight's show, any follow-up questions that I didn't answer, post it in the comments section. Don't forget, this Wednesday, I'm also going to record the mailbag. So it's not too late. You could either email me, dontony@dontony.com, or you could go to the community section on YouTube and post your question there. I will be recording the mailbag Wednesday afternoon, so get your questions in by Wednesday morning so they get in for this mailbag. So we got a lot of work to do still this week. Business before pleasure. Can't have your dessert until you have your dinner first.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.